Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God for our study today is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 12, page 182. While you're turning there, just explain just a little bit about Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy actually means second law. Deuteronomy has a lot of repetition from what you can find in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Because now God's people are right on the edge of the promised land, and so God is having Moses repeat the law, give it a second time, but now giving specific application as they are about to enter the promised land. So let's listen in as God speaks through Moses to his people. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. This is the word of the Lord. And let's pray. O Lord our God, we focus our attention on you, trusting that you can guide my lips to speak your truth, trusting that you can send your Spirit to open our hearts to hear and believe. Perform that miracle in us. Amen. I appreciate the way that Pastor Bonach described what God designed the family to be. It's right on the top of your worship folder. I also have it up on the screen. He said, God designed the family to be the healthiest place for children and adults to explore their faith, to ask questions, to make mistakes, and to learn what it's like to live with imperfect people in a loving, forgiving relationship. The family was designed to be a safe place. Now that sounds marvelous, doesn't it? That our families are safe places. Safe places for kids, safe places for adults, places where we can be honest with each other, where we forgive each other, places of perfect love. That sounds so wonderful. The trouble is, for most of us, perhaps all of us, we hear that description of the family that God designed, and we feel so much like the Israelites that we are on the outside. That family describes something else. You see, God's people, as they're hearing Moses' words, they are on the outside of the land flowing with milk and honey. They are not in that perfect place. And there would certainly be questions, do we belong in that land flowing with milk and honey? And as we start again this whole concept of the family church, and God's call to each of us to take on our role, to be the pastors, the spiritual leaders of our parts of the family churches that we are part of. There can be a part of us that just goes, that's true for everybody else here, but not me. I'm on the outside looking in. that our family is not that perfectly safe family, that we have arguments in our family, that there's bitterness in our family, maybe even abuse, divorce, infidelity. My family is not that safe place. I'm on the outside. I want you to know that that's true of all of us. That this idea of a perfectly safe family, that other people have it and you don't, it's a figment of your imagination. Just as it was a figment of the imagination of God's people when they looked across the Jordan River to see that land of promise, the land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, this is a place of perfect safety, right? Well, not if you know Old Testament history. If you know Old Testament history, that land of promise was not empty. It was filled with enemies within it. Seven tribes: Canaanites, Hivites, Hittites, Perizzites, Amorites, Girgashites, Jebusites. It was not a place of perfect safety. They would cross the Jordan River into a place where they would have to do battle, even though it was the land flowing with milk and honey, the land of promise. And as we think about our families as a safe place, that this is God's design, this is where we want to be. But let's just recognize that as we step into that idea that we want our families to be safe places for ourselves and for our children and for, you know, our circle of friends who may be in our functional family, that we are going to be stepping into a place of battle. It is a war that we are entering into so that we can develop a safe place. And just as there were enemies within for the Israelites, there are enemies within for us. As I thought about the seven tribes, I went, oh yeah, the seven deadly sins. So I'll just list the seven deadly sins. It's just a sampling of what's wrong in your family. The enemies within you and the enemies within me. That sinful nature. It's no wonder that we hear that marvelous description of the family as a safe place, and we go, I don't know if that's my family, because we're battling these enemies within us. There are also enemies without. That was true of God's Old Testament people too. Once they entered into that promised land, they weren't done with fighting enemies. Did you know that Israel is a marvelous place to go see birds? This is the migration pattern of birds from Asia to Africa and back again. There are all kinds of birds that fly across Israel. Why? Because the birds understand that this is the land bridge between Asia and Africa. Guess what? What the birds figured out, Old Testament people figured out too. And so Egypt wanted to control Israel, and Aram to the north, and then later on Assyria, and Babylon, and Persia. You see, there were always these enemies without. Even though this was the land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey, they would have to fight the enemies that were coming from without. And that's true of our families as well. Not only is there this enemy within that can destroy any concept that our families could be a safe place, but there are these enemies without, right? When I was young, I'd say the primary enemy would be, oh, that TV. And now we've just multiplied the enemies. The internet brings the world and all of its temptations right into our own homes. Work pressure can make your family an unsafe place as you bring the pressure of work home with you. We live in a divorce culture. If it's not what you want, step out of it. And abuse, perhaps abuse going on in your family right now. Many of you have experienced abuse in your families of origin, and you recognize that experience of the past continues to impact your families today. There are enemies without. that would, it would seem would make it impossible for us to have a safe place, just like it would have seemed that way for the ancient Israelites. A land flowing with milk and honey, really? With all these enemies inside and outside? Now, as I describe that, you might go, well, what's the use of even fighting this battle? Where there's no way that we're going to win. That's when it's important to remember that this is a fight worth fighting. Because remember where we live in a land of anxiety and doubt and despair. Did you know that anxiety disorders are becoming epidemic, they say? 18% of the adult population in the United States in a typical year will deal with anxiety disorders. We are an anxious people. Doubt. We live in a world where we're bombarded with a variety of different approaches to life. Is the Christian faith the right one? And even if you watch something on TV about the Christian faith, it can plant doubts. Last night, somebody asked me about what I saw on TV about Jesus, and I said, don't watch anything on TV about Jesus, because most of the time it's written by people who don't believe in Jesus. It's just going to spread more doubt. We live in a land of despair. Suicide is just the mountaintop of despair. So many people live in a place where we're just hopeless. I don't want to continue to live in a land like that. And that's why I believe God is calling us to fight for a safe place. A safe place within our families to deal with the things that make us incredibly anxious and afraid. A safe place to deal with the doubts. A safe place to express our hopelessness and find hope in Christ. It's worth fighting this fight. And I want to remind you that just as this was a land of rest for God's people, that is our goal. That our families will become this place of rest. Assaults from all different angles on our faith and on our emotional well-being. But we want our families to be that place of rest. And it's possible because God's made a promise. You see, the land flowing with milk and honey was the place of promise. God had promised his Old Testament people, you are going to cross that Jordan River and enjoy this land of milk and honey, this place of rest. And that's a promise that's given to us too. Here's a promise that Jesus gave. Let's read it together. It's from John chapter 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus promises, I have a land flowing with milk and honey for you. I have a land of peace and safety, a place of rest for you. But where is it? It's not someplace on a map. It's not an address, ours or someone else's. Jesus promises that the place of peace that's worth fighting for is with him. And that's what God tells his Old Testament people. As they look forward to crossing that land, that Jordan River into the land of milk and honey, he says the most important thing is to stay connected to me as your Savior God And that's how you will find peace and safety. Moses said, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. And when you eat and are satisfied, here's the key thought. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You see, the key to finding a place of peace, a place of safety, to create that place of safety for the people that we love, is that you and I do not forget. The devil knows that the best way he can defeat us is to make us forgetters. Just think about it. How can someone hold a grudge against a family member because they have forgotten that they have been rescued from the land of slavery themselves? They have forgotten that they have experienced the forgiveness of sins. How can someone be consumed with a fear that they won't have enough, that we have to pour our lives into work, that we'll never have enough, because they have forgotten that God is the one who gave us everything? What I want to share with you today is, how can you and I claim that place of safety? It's by saying, I am going to give up the role of forgetter and take on a different role. And your role is not to be the hero of your family. I think we get discouraged because we see the enemies within and the enemies without, and we think, I'm not strong enough to battle these enemies. Your role, my role, is not to be the hero of our families. Your role, my role, is to remember who the hero is. The hero is the Lord, our God. The Lord is one. This is the heart and core of this text. This is the confession that people of the Jewish faith use every day. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's their prayer, it's their confession. This is what the heart and core of our faith is all about. If you and I can remember that our God is the Lord, that's Lord in all capital letters, that's the Savior God, the God who knew all of the things that have made your family unsafe, all the things that you have done, the way you have mistreated your spouse, your children, your friends, the way you have disobeyed your parents, the way you have failed to honor and keep promises. God's known it all, and he still loved you, and he sent his son to die for you. The Lord is your God. If you and I remember that, how can we approach each other holding back on forgiveness? We remember the Lord is our God, and as he has forgiven us, so, Lord, help us to forgive one another. That's what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, right? But to pray that prayer, we have to remember he's the God of unconditional love and forgiveness who just keeps on forgiving. Lord, make us like you. Help us remember that's who you are, and that's who we want to be. Because when we forgive like you have forgiven, when we let go as you have forgiven, as you have let go of our sins, our families will become more and more safe. The Lord, our God. God is the word for power. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when you put our connected to God, what that is a promise is that the God who has the power to create the world is going to use that power in my behalf and in your behalf. If you and I forget that, then everything depends on us. But if we remember it, then really nothing truly depends on us, because we have the God who can supply our needs physically and can also work powerfully in us to change us. Some of us have to admit that we have patterns in our lives that just tend to destroy the relationships around us, either physically. Maybe violence is a part of your household. Maybe it's emotionally. But if you remember, you have the Lord, the forgiving God, who is your God, who is our God, the God of infinite power, then you and I are not facing the battle against those sinful tendencies alone. You and I can change because the Lord, our God, is working in us. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You and I may not think about it, but back in the Old Testament days, there were all kinds of gods. You had to worry about, I'm in the woods. Do I have to worship the forest god? Oh, I'm on the plains. Do I have to worship the plains god? I'm in the mountains. Do I have to worship the mountains god? I need rain. Should I worship the rain god? The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You and I can have one focus. And how does that apply to us today as we think about our families? Think of how often we misplace our trust. We are afraid for our kids. We're afraid for our relationships. And so what do? We think it somehow depends on us, and we make something else the God in whom we trust. Our kids will be safe as long as they're involved in sports. Our kids will be safe as long as they're involved in music. Our kids will be safe as long as they are, you name it. I can get my spouse to love me if I lose a few more pounds, if I dress differently. What is the God that causes you to be busy and distracted like Martha? The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Mary had it right. There's only one focus. We want a place of safety for our families. Then let's keep our focus on the Lord our God. Our role is not to be the hero to save our families. We have a God who says, I will be that hero. Our role is just to remember him. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Begin with yourself. Impress these truths on yourself. The Lord our God is my hero, the hero of my family, who can do what I cannot do. Remember. And then be a rememberer for the rest of your family. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Here, what God is doing here is he is giving us the practices of a rememberer. Our role is to be the rememberer, and the practices in the Old Testament to be a rememberer. Tie God's word on your foreheads and on your hands. They actually use phylacteries as a visible reminder of God's word. If you go to Israel, you will see observant Jews touching these little boxes on every door frame, on every gate, that has these passages written on a little scroll inside there, and they touch it to remind themselves of the Lord our God, our Savior, the one who can keep us safe against our enemies. What's the practice of a rememberer today? God hasn't given us that kind of commands. So I would ask you, if our role to help make our families safe is to be the rememberer, what practices are you going to do like the Old Testament Jews? And I would encourage you to think in terms of what practices are you going to do that you don't have to think about. I don't think that the Old Testament Jews, once they started using phylacteries, had to think about wrapping up their arms with that phylactery. They just did it. Observant Jews to this day, they don't have to think about touching that mezuzah as they walk into the doorway. They just do it because it's just a part of their lives. There's no decision anymore. They've just done it enough that it's just what you do. And this is why I encourage you to think about your religious life, your spiritual life, just like you do so many other things. You know, do you think about brushing your teeth every day? My guess is if you think about brushing your teeth every day, if you have to decide every day, I'm going to brush my teeth, I bet you don't brush your teeth every day. Because that's too hard. You'll give up. It's just got to be something you do. And once it becomes something you do, you just do it. You don't even think about it. It's just what we do. And if you have a good exercise routine, you don't have to think, oh, am I going to go to the gym today? You just do. And if you're somebody like me who thinks, you know, I'll go to the gym tomorrow. I'll make that decision. You know, the last time I've been to the gym, it's been more than a few weeks. Because it's just too hard to make that decision. But if you just make it a part of your day, this is what you do. You don't think, you just do. Or if you take out the garbage every week, if that's what you do, you just do it. It's Wednesday morning. I make sure the garbage is out. I don't think about it, I just do it. What's the practices of a rememberer that will help you remember who the hero is in your family so that you keep him in your family so that you can battle the enemies within and be safe from the enemies without, not just for yourself, but for your kids, for your parents, for your extended family? Well, first of all, every week let's take out the garbage, right? That's what we come in here for. Oh, Lord, it's been another tough week. I have failed you over and over again. How good it is to come into your presence, to receive your son's body and blood in remembrance. We have it right on our altar. Don't let it be a decision. One of the problems that I see within our congregation is we have 6 different options for worship. And if you ask, have to decide, what church service am I going to go to? You might opt for none of the above. Don't make it a decision. Just make it. This is just what we do. I would encourage you to find a time where you just go, this is where we as a family worship. We're not going to make a decision. Those of you that I see every Sunday here, I would guess that is just the way it is. That's the practice of a rememberer. What's our daily practice? To make sure that we're hearing God's word and how you hear that word of God, whether you open up the Bible or you listen to it on tape, listen to it from your phone, it doesn't make any difference. It will be a hard decision to make the first few times, but if you just do it, then pretty soon it becomes, this is just what I do. Because this is how we remember. One of the reasons why we read God's word every day is to remember who our hero is, who can change me, who loves me unconditionally. And the marvelous thing I love about our role as a rememberer is that any one of us can fulfill that role. I love the fact that I hear over and over again that kids in our childcare who are not much older than this little baby in the picture will remind their moms and dads, we got to pray first. They're the rememberer. They're the hero that day, right? There's nothing more important. We are being attacked. Our families are under attack. And you and I do not have the ability to be the hero to keep our family safe. But you and I can be the hero in the sense that I will take on my role, no matter where I am in the family, of being a rememberer so that we never forget the Lord, our Savior God, the God who created the heavens, who has the power to protect us, is here with us. And that's what makes our families a safe place. Amen.